He's the man with the Midas touch.
Diamonds are forever. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Throw your diamonds in the sky if you feel the vibe. The rock is still alive every time I rhyme.
For the dozen of you who were clamoring on Twitter for another Viva Jacara, here you go. Another episode for the month of June 2014 covering just so many things. Three shows and a bunch of other stuff we're going to get to. And I can't do this alone. I mean, I literally cannot do this alone. I have to have my good buddy and pal Justin Houston with me. So, hi, Justin.
Hi. Yeah, this is everyone else's fault for asking us to do one of these again. So, if you despise us, one, why are you back for more? It seems like you should, you know, reprioritize your time better. And two, you're welcome, I guess. And I really did appreciate people going, when are you going to do another one? Because that was that let us know that we needed to do another one.
I feel like we didn't get that many people saying that back in the old days of the show.
No, we did not. I mean, We got props from Jacara in a way because we were considered a part of the extended Jacara universe. But no, I didn't get I certainly didn't get any messages saying, when are you going to do that? Well, we sort of did it on a schedule back then, pretty simply. It was whenever the next show's coming around.
That seems to be the schedule we're on now.
It is, but I think I've made it pretty clear that I don't know how much I'm going to be in on these, but I mean, it's going to happen. We might as well go ahead and say we're going to be doing this consistently again, if not just because I love talking for 2 hours in a row about wrestling, but because Kevin is going to all of the shows ever.
That's true. Yeah, it's pretty sick how many Jacara shows I'm going to this season.
It's sickening. It is nauseating. Yeah. How many shows you're going to.
I am literally ill doing the show, but just thinking about all of the shows I'm going to. But I will be at both Chicago Jacara events this weekend, and I will be in Berwyn, Illinois for AEW Friday, and I'll probably be going to the Squared Circle restaurant afterwards to hopefully catch the tail end of the Larry Sweeney fundraising effort they're doing over there. So come say hi to me if you recognize my voice, I guess, in any of those things, or leave me alone. I don't care. That's fine.
Just announce yourself.
I'm here.
Yeah, no, just, I'm Kevin Ford! Form a line! That'll be fine. That's subtle.
Yeah, especially when it's sold out for one of the Chicago shows. It's gonna be mayhem, like the WCW N64 game.
Can't even imagine.
No, you can't. You can't imagine. So where do we start? There's a lot to talk about.
Well, we got to talk about the last thing that happened, because that's what a lot of the tweets were about that I got and you got and we collectively got. Were about what are our thoughts on You Only Live Twice?
Yes, of course. The Chicago relaunch, which I attended live. Though my attentiveness to the show was here and there because I arrived late because the parking lot was so packed I had to go park in a neighborhood in Easton and walk over. So I walked in during not terribly far into the BDK Spectral Envoy match, but I missed like the Tursus Revelation and all the opening stuff they did. So and I was kind of far away because I had GA seats, and so I was standing most of it and talking to people and stuff. But I did rewatch the majority of it on smvod.com, and I actually have the Blu-ray in transit as I'm saying this words right now, but it should be here soon, and I'll give it a more definitive watch then, along with the expansion pack match. But do you want me to get my thoughts first, or do you want to go?
We'll just kind of go along, see how we feel. What was the high points of its return?
Well, first of all, I think overall, I thought live, I was like, that was an all right show, but the crowd made it like way better. Like, it was easily one of the best wrestling crowds I've ever been a part of or even ever seen on tape. It was just, everyone was into everything. It was pretty crazy. There was a lot of matches I liked a lot more on the second viewing on the video on demand. Like, I thought some of the wrestling was a lot better than I thought. Like, I really like Oliver Grimsley and Kefka the Quiet as wrestlers. Like, I thought they did some really cool stuff with the Batiri. But I think in terms of high points, like, I got to mention Ashley Remington right off the bat. I think him and Chuck Taylor live for sure was my favorite match of the whole show. Like, really good wrestling, really good comedy. Like, when I was done watching, I was like, this is Chicara. Like, this is what I want out of this company. And it was quite lovely. What did you think of Mr. Remington?
Yeah, that was the thing I was already sold on before we even got to this show. Was this is what Chikara used to do. They'd build up a gimmick, and you'd have some level of expectation. The most notorious build-up to a character outside of the gobbledygooker in wrestling history has got to be the leader of the band, Archibald Peck. I mean, the whole bit, the band yes. thing was so strange. And when we got what we got, it was so disappointing for like 8 seconds. Yeah. Then it was amazing forever. And only Chikara can pull that kind of thing off. It's that kind of thing that makes you keep coming back to a company that you don't know what's going on or where they stand, is because the reliability in that department is pretty strong. With Ashley Remington, the only thing that was missing was I think people didn't really know whether he was like a bad guy, good guy. I don't care for that. I made it very clear in my column that I write, Rubbed Raw, on PW Ponderings. I have no tolerance for this shades of gray nonsense. I hate it profusely. The reason that this match, not only because it was quieter because people like to hear Chuck Taylor speak and the ridiculous things he says, but they didn't really know how to react to Ashley Remington, I feel like. They weren't sure whether he's a good guy, whether he's a bad guy, and it wasn't clear from the wrestling. So,
not to mention, people just really like Chuck Taylor.
Yeah,
good or bad guy, they're gonna do his clap and chant Chuck E.T. and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can list Chuck Taylor. You can sort of disguise him as a Rudo on your roster page, which they have done. But he is beloved. There's nothing that he can do that. I mean, he'll draw heat, but then he'll immediately draw cheers right after it. So,
like, it's hard to get mad at a guy who's stomping down a guy in the corner, and then the referee yells at him, and he just yells back, "I don't know the rules."
Exactly. Or just who just yells his name right before doing a move, or some sort of like Xena like shout that he does occasionally. Yes. Glorious. I mean, you can't dislike that guy. So that was great. And yeah, like you said, most Chikara thing on the show that felt like the Chikara that I love.
Yeah, and the wrestling was really rock solid. Like there was one point where they're on the floor, Taylor whips Remington to the side of the ring, and he uses the ropes to swing back and pull off a Hurricanrana on the floor, and I was like, that is awesome. Like, that is something I would not have expected from Mr. Remington. And him using the lasso from El Paso as his finisher, which I think he calls Anchors Away, is a nice little touch, too. That's not something you see a lot of people use. So I approve. I approved of all of that.
Yeah. The show in general, I thought it was good, but it was still sort of, it felt like a Chikara knockoff still. It didn't feel like the real thing. And it was a wrestling show that, it's one of the toughest wrestling shows to watch where it's kind of in a valley where there's a lot of good stuff and then it dips way down in the middle and then it kind of rockets back up at the end. Those can be kind of, cause you end up sitting through a lot of stuff that you really don't care about. Like the Batiri auditorium stuff. I thought the Coronado Juris Cottonbelly, I mean, it was fine, but they didn't really do much there.
I'm a big Cottonbelly fan, though. I just like that character a ton.
I'll have to see more. I mean, I'm certainly not passing judgment. I didn't love the four corner elimination match either. I thought it was good, but I didn't exactly see it.
I think live that might have been what I thought was the strongest wrestling match. It
really?
Wasn't my favorite match, but I thought in person I was like, oh, this is because it felt like it had got a lot of time. It felt like they structured all the pins when they happened pretty well. Like the story was pretty good. Of like, you know, like a 3.0 getting eliminated first and then the throwbacks had to fight for themselves against the Gekido teams, I guess you could say, even though Jigsaw's affiliation is still kind of up in the air. So I liked it from that perspective, and people were really kind of living and dying with the throwbacks in that match. So I think that helped a lot, too.
Yeah, I would say a disappointment for me as well. Probably the biggest disappointment was Jacobs Peck. I didn't feel like it was much of anything to it.
That's the one thing I think coming out of the show that disappointed most. There was a lot of interference. You know, there's that DQ finish in the Batiri match. Because, you know, they had the interference with the Jacobs Peck match, which just, you know, Jacobs uses spring back Ace Crusher to pin him, which I don't think he really ever uses a finish. And then right after the Colony Extreme Force match, they have some interference there that leads to the finish. And I was like, I really don't want this to be in every one of my matches.
And this is something that I think I expressed on the previous show, that I was worried about shenanigans getting in the way of and building matches around these sort of shenanigans coming up. it's just not fun to watch for me. It really is. I mean, there's ways to do it that are fine, but doing it to this level in a company that is now the guy in charge is the guy that wants to get rid of these types of things. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the best thing I could think of was it was either a comment on a message board or Twitter or something like that where someone says, boy, Chikar really didn't plan for this very well because now they're fractured again. You know, it's these all these other guys were fighting are now fighting one big group again separately. Whereas, you know, the Batiri didn't come and help the colony. The colony didn't in turn help the Batiri. They're still don't have each other's backs. So it's once again a fractured Chikara fighting one big group. And I think that's it's just bad storytelling.
There's the one thing I got out of the show was I like the idea of what they're trying to do in certain respects. Like I like the idea of a group of carny folks, evil clowns and mimes and all that stuff. I like the idea of all these past groups getting together to take down Chikara because if they can't do it by themselves, getting together and being at their strongest seems like they have the best chance, right? And all that as an idea sounds okay, but the execution explanation just isn't there. Like, why are the Auditorium so against Chikara and why do they want to take it down? Why have they aligned themselves with the BDK and the Gekido and all that? Like, you know, there just needs to be a bigger answer because you feel like maybe this Flood thing that's all put in there together. Like, why is Jimmy Jacobs still around? That all has an opportunity to fall apart in and of itself with all these groups maybe trying to fight each other. And I don't know. There's some things that I like, but then you bring up the point like Mike Quackenbush is now the director of Fun, which I think in storyline is great. But then why is he continuously booking these guys who are trying to tear down the company? Or is he not booking them? Or if not, then who is and how are these matches getting made?
No explanation for any of that.
So it's again, it's like I see what you're doing and I kind of see where it's from and I respect that and all that, but I really need more substance in the style.
Yeah, I mean, explanation. I mean, I need to know why to care because honestly, the wrestling just wasn't there at times. It's particularly in the Batiri match and in the singles match between Jacobs and Peck. It just wasn't there. There was some sloppiness in the colony match too. That wasn't quite. I felt bad for Worker Ant because he came out and immediately there was some rough stuff. And this was his this was his debut as Worker Ant and not as a Saline anymore. And there was some rough stuff. There was some confusion there and. It was a good match, but it certainly wasn't up to the level that, you know, you would expect these guys to pull out with the level this feud is that we're being told that it is. I mean, it's sort of the best example actually of the company as a whole right now is in this match where the Colin Extreme Force had the King of Trios medallions, and that's what they were fighting for, really, and also because they don't like the Colony Extreme Force. But that's not enough. That's just like a superficial thing that people fight for. If there's no emotion behind it, we've already dismissed that. They're not the King of Trios winners. We saw who won King of Trios. We were there, so there's no need. It's just not something that's important to us. Those medals do not represent who we know won King of Trios. They just don't. So it feels forced rather than an actual reason these guys are fighting other than, well, they're in a group that I don't like and we're in a group that they don't like.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of is what it is. And I don't know. I hope we get some explanation for a lot of this stuff somewhere down the line, but it's not here. It's not coming. And no.
I did like the main event, though.
Yeah, tell me what you think about Icarus as Grand Champion and all that.
I think it would have been nice if Eddie Kingston hadn't murdered Icarus with a powerbomb like the way he did. Good grief.
Or those slaps to the face.
That no, listen, it was the powerbomb that did it. As someone who watched it on tape, that powerbomb is what concussed Icarus.
I don't even remember the powerbomb, to be honest with you. So I'll
It happened really quick. It was a folding powerbomb that Eddie Kingston like started folding midway through hitting the powerbomb. And his head went smack. And after that, you could just see he was out of it. He was out of it.
Yeah, that was really obvious that he was out of it. Like, even when, especially when he went for the Blu-ray, I was just like, this is, right. Like, you can tell, like, in his eyes that this is just not, it's not working. And that's not, you know, that's not to the fault of anybody. They did the best they could when a concussion happens. That's, you know, we know now how serious that is. So,
well, yeah, even more than that. Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed he got to the finish.
Yeah.
And managed Major to kudos. Slap on the Chikara special. Yeah. I mean, that's the most convoluted submission. You know, I couldn't apply that properly, like with a not concussion. So, the fact that he managed to find a way to slip that thing on, while just, you know, slowly hemorrhaging memories is pretty impressive. And it was a great moment that led to, I mean, even more just confusion and questions that I just don't care. I really don't. With Delirious and Soldier Ant coming out, and then the Titan of T'Tor. What you said he has a name now?
Deucalion. Yes.
I mean, it was cool. He was a big guy, but
Bane, basically.
Yeah, we have enough big. Let's don't Kallion. How about that? Can we not
Kallion?
That would be fantastic. It's just there's so many bad guys. It really feels like right now in Chikara, it's this mid-90s Marvel Comics era where not even Marvel, every company, everyone had to be like at a god level of power because all these individual writers were giving everyone this like these superpowers left and right. In Chikara, there are so many people that, you know, that are on different levels of, you know, sort of strength and fearsomeness, like Sin Bodhi and Jimmy Jacobs and Dr. Cube and now Deucalion, it sort of doesn't mean anything. I mean, I guess Deucalion is the top of the heap, but boy, I don't care at all. I don't. He looked like Predator or like he looked like what's his name? Smoke from Mortal Kombat. Yeah, the robotic one. Yeah, he looked like that. And he was huge, and he murdered Cobalt, and Cobalt is now permanently injured and out of Chikara forever and ever and ever. So it was important, but, I mean, you know, what? Just don't let that guy back into Chikara. Like, I don't know what Mike Quackenbush, why you wouldn't just say, hey, you no more. Goodbye. You go now.
Yeah.
So hopefully they answer those questions because again, there was, and it feels like we're harping on the same things that we did before, but we told them what we wanted and they didn't give it to us. The things that we did get though, that were Chikara-esque, the opener, Remington and Chuck Taylor, were really good. And then the stuff at the end, Colony Extreme Force and the Colony was a good match. It was fun, even if it was, again, you know, at times cheap and frustrating and just not what you're looking for. And it was a great main event until Eddie Kingston concussed Icarus with a crazy stiff powerbomb. And actually, even after that, they did a really good job. And it was one of the best matches of the night. So there were lots of Chikara-esque stuff, but just, it wasn't as fun. There wasn't as much comedy, and I don't know. It left me disappointed, but still hopeful that Chikara can be salvaged.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I gotta say, seeing Tursus again put a smile on my face. Seeing the Ragnarok again.
Oh yeah, that was great. That was awesome. Yeah, that was another moment that I missed when he came like running out, especially on DVD when you can see him. And he's just like running like, bruh, like he's going to – he destroyed them.
Yeah.
On the ramp as if he was just like – I hope he told them before the match. I hope he was like, listen, I'm going to run full speed and there's a lot of me. You know,
like you're going to die. No, stop laughing. You're going to die.
You don't want the full blunt of my force. You want to take the Stone Cold off the car bump where I hit you and you kind of roll off it. You have to. So, but – jeez.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, I kind of left this like you. I was like, I was okay, but I had my disappointments, and I thought the ending was kind of weird, though. Soldier and Delirious being there is interesting, I guess.
No, it isn't. That goes. No, it isn't. Well, it's not interesting.
But it gives me hope that we'll get Soldier Ann back at some point.
We do have Soldier Ann back.
No,
and
but
it's
like
in the opposite avenue right. that we this gets us further away from Soldier Ann coming back.
Right. Well, it's like the whole portal thing, right? Like, whatever, do what you got to do. Just make Amasis and Ophidian get back together, right? It's like that again. Like Soldier
it
Ann's
took
like,
so long, though.
It didn't take that long.
How long did it take from Amasis showing his face to them getting back together?
Like 6-7 months.
That's a long time. That's not, really long.
It's not that long.
When you could have just had Soldier Ant come back and team with them.
Listen, they have a story they're going to tell. It may not be your flavor of ice cream, Justin, but it's a flavor nonetheless.
It's not ice cream. It's the best tasting celery in the world, but it's still celery.
Fair enough. But coming out of it, I was like, you know what? Like, I think I'm going to give Chakar at least till the end of 2014. And if there's still some things that I'm kind of trepidatious about, or I'm really not feeling it, it doesn't, you know, give me the joy and excitement I had at Chakar of old, I may have to reevaluate and see where I stand. I'm giving him a hell of a chance because I'll
be
attending
eight
shows.
Yeah, you're giving the
shows.
Full boil. Like, you're certainly giving the full boil on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to watch every other show. It's like, no, I'm going to attend 8 shows in person, flying to one of them. I'll get all the shows on DVD and all that, too. So I'm giving them a God's honest try, and we'll see where I stand at the end of 2014.
I am doing the bare minimum. I'm doing the minimum. I am acknowledging they still exist on a podcast. That's not the bare minimum. That's a step up.
You watched the iPay-per-view.
That's true.
I mean, you could have not watched them and like, sounds like crap. Brr.
Yeah. And honestly, on paper, this does not look appealing. But a lot of Chikara shows don't. Some of my favorite Chikara shows are just like 6 3-star matches. And those are so fun, though. They still are. So you can't always judge a book by that. And I think that with these shows, I hope they just get back to a lot of the fun stuff. Leave the stuff, the big storyline stuff, which was a draw, you know, for me for Chikara for a time. I just don't care. I really just want to have fun wrestling matches.
Yes, please. Because fun is the best thing to have.
They could also, and this is terribly important, they need to fix up this roster page. This is absolutely
every time, every show we get to the roster page.
It's truly, I mean, where do we even begin? Where do we begin with this ridiculousness? Well,
this is your baby, so I'm gonna let you start.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm gonna start just basically with the text differences, which Kevin mentioned that he had noticed before now. And I mean, there's no reason to notice it. The only reason I noticed it is because I thought, why are they doing this? Every name on the roster page is in blue except for Chuck Taylor, Eddie Kingston, one long Spanish name, and the Proletariat Boar. Which how he got, we discussed this. We don't know how he got on the roster page. Paid somebody off. I mean, really stroked some.
Mr. Azerbaijan isn't on there. The new guy isn't on there.
Right. Like, genuinely more important people.
Weirdly enough, the Estonian Thunderfrog's on there, but the Proud Oak and the Snow Troll go unnoticed on the roster page.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know what the choice was in this process, but it's a really, really strange one, and I don't approve. What was the other? Oh, yes. Now, this would be your portion of the frustrations, and it involved the Grand Championship.
Yeah, so if you go on the roster page and you're wondering, I wonder who the Grand Champion of this company is. Justin, looking at the photos, who's the Grand Champion? Judging strictly by the photos. If you had not watched, you only have twice.
Well, it's all I have to go on because I don't have statistics. I don't have height, weight, move set, history. I don't have anything on them. I don't have their Twitter page, for God's sake. So I'm going to go by the pictures of them. And obviously the guy holding the big shiny gold belt is the champion, right?
Wrong, Justin. You are wrong. It is not Eddie Kingston. In fact, that guy, one column row above him, Icarus. That's who it is. He's standing there all triumphant and proud, but beltless.
It's true. Icarus is doing, he clearly looks like he's doing like a superhero pose. but they cut his arms off, so it kind of looks like he's doing the Brady Bunch pose where he's looking at another square.
He's like looking at Dasher Hatfield, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, huh? And someone else is like looking down, going, hey, that guy. If that was the plan for the roster page, I am all for that. But this is an alphabetically list collage of photographs, and we haven't even gotten to Silver Ant. What do you say? This was an opportunity to change your name to mean something more than Green Ant. This guy already rejected the brilliant monikers that I bestowed upon him, openly rejected them on Twitter. And the name change, an opportunity to like Fire Ant, no matter what you say, that makes sense. Fire Ants are a thing that we can acknowledge. Worker Ant, every Pixar movie that has ants in it, they're always hard work. Every animated film, they're always depicted as hardworking. It makes sense. Silver Ant makes no more or less sense than Green Ant. He just changed colors. He could be Chartreuse Ant, and it wouldn't make any more or less sense.
What if he were like the Silver Surfer?
Sure.
Norn Rad.
Well, he has to be an ant, right?
Silver Surfer Ant?
Surfer Ant. Why not Surfer
Team Ant? Him with Ashley Remington and Hydra, and we got ourselves a King of Trios team.
Yeah, I don't. I would like Bee Ant. Half bee, half ant.
Why not?
Yeah, and he uses the Stinger Splash. Huh?
Sure, sure.
That's pretty good. And then he does, I don't know, he's just got a pointy butt and he sticks people with it.
His t-shirts can say Bee Leave, kind of like Bo Leave.
Ah, oh, that's perfect! But Bee Leave and anti, and you can do anti-thing. Like, that's it. That's, they need to print these shirts right now.
License to print money.
Bee Ant. That's what we're all waiting on, really.
Bee Ant. Bee Arthur Ant.
If it's not clear by now from us going through the roster page, one, we are very, very petty, petty individuals. And two, the wackiness is what keeps us with Chikara, even if it's our own manufactured nonsense.
But think of it this way. If I send that roster page to someone, a friend who is like, hey, I'm going to this Chikara show that's in town. Oh, I'd be interested in going. Can you show me like who's on the roster? And I send them. They'd be like, what? Like who? What's going on? Is that champion that Puerto Rican guy?
Right. It doesn't seem fair that Mr. Touchdown gets to wear a helmet.
Like, yeah. Are him and Dasher Hatfield like a thing? Why are there two guys in like face paint that kind of look similar? Are they a tag team?
Has that snake ever poisoned anybody? No.
Right.
That's a face.
Why is he wearing a bow tie?
Exactly.
Is his belly actually cotton?
How much does that guy weigh? Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Art Donovan, big fan of Chikara.
I don't know.
Well, should we get to these shows here?
Yeah, we've run out of steam on this whole roster bit.
Yes. So for the people who are left listening, some shows to talk about this weekend.
Chicago shows, yeah!
Yes, two of them, because the first one sold out, and so they said, ah, screw it, let's do a second one. And that's going to take place in the afternoon.
That's the best business model there is. We don't have any more, let's make more.
Yeah, truly. And I had to be a jerk and get tickets to both to shut out maybe somebody who wanted to go to one of the shows.
Yeah.
Well, too bad for that person. So Quantum of Solace, which is historically, I think, one of the worst James Bond movies there is. When I was putting together this podcast, I listened to the themes of all these. And obviously, I knew Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever. I had never heard of the Quantum of Solace theme. And it's awesome. Like, despite the movie apparently being terrible, I really like the song.
I like Quantum of Solace. It's underrated. It's not great. It's not mind-blowing. But he does, like, Bond stuff in there that you don't get in other films. It's a smaller film. I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
Oh, man. You're the one.
I really am. I'm all alone in that regard. But, no, it's pretty good.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do, Justin. I'm going to run down all these matches, and you tell me what interests you. How's that sound?
Okay.
So start from the bottom, then go up to the top, Drake style, I guess. There unfortunately was a change on this show. We were going to originally have the Piece of Hate versus the Osirian Portal, which I was super looking forward to, and then Amasis had to go and get hurt. So only Ophidian's going to be playing this card. I know, so selfish. just like Chris Benoit. Anyways, they're also going to do the Throwbacks versus AC/DC, but they had to change that up because of that injury as well. So you have a completely different card than what was there before. The Throwbacks are now going to take on the Submission Squad of Evan Gelestico and Gary the Barn Owl. Ophidian will now take on Jaka in a one-on-one match, and I think that has potential to be the sleeper hit of the show. The Estonian Thunderfrog versus the Proletariat Boar is a match that's happening with the two guys from their factions who happen to get on the roster page. How, we don't know. The Piece of Hate will now be facing Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin, which will probably be really good. The Latvian Proud Oak and Lithuanian Snowtroll take on Mr. Azerbaijan and the Prakash Shabar, or just Prakash Shabar. I don't know who that is. I assume it's that expatriate guy who was on the expansion pack thing, who apparently dressed like X-Pac and wrestled like X-Pac. But that's literally all I know about him. In a former Partners Collide match, Worker Ant takes on Deviant. So former Gekido Swarm Ants fight. In the main event, a Trios match, Spectral Envoy of Ultramanus Black, Halloween, and Frightmare take on Cindy Bacabella's Wrecking Crew of the Devastation Corporation, that's Smash Master McMassive, Rumble Crunch, I guess, is staying home, and Oleg the Usurper is the third guy on that team. So there's that card. Justin, what's appealing to you?
Easily, the match that appeals most to me is Worker Ant versus Deviant. And surprise, surprise, it's the one where I actually know why they're fighting so profusely against one another. Former teammates, Worker Ant kind of won the favor of his group, while Deviant, you know, continued to be a jerk, continues to be a jerk. They have history with one another. And I imagine it's going to be pretty heated, and it should get some time on the card, too. So I'm actually looking forward to that. I like what I've seen from the Thunder Frog. I have never seen the Boar. I'm just going to say the Boar.
He spears people.
So does literally everyone else in wrestling now.
Yeah, but do they yell Boar, Boar, Boar when he spears people?
Maybe. I don't always hear what people are yelling when they spear someone. Is that the whole gimmick? Is that he spears someone and they yell Boar? That's a bad reason for a gimmick.
Well, it's supposed to be like Rhino when they would yell Gore, Gore, Gore.
Well, I get that. It's one pun. You can't build a gimmick around one pun.
But a boar would actually spear people too. Like the animal.
Shoot. Yeah, I guess he would. That does work on several levels. All right. Retracted. I'm excited just to see, you know, what they have to offer. The Eastern European Explosion. I don't know a bunch about those guys, so
I love the Latvian Proud Oak, though.
Well, yeah. Now I do know Proud Oak, pretty well, but the Snow Troll, Mr. Azerbaijan, and Prakash Sabar, which sounds like a Persian jewelry chain.
It really does.
Yes. I don't really know what to expect there, but I'm sure it'll be interesting. The main event. I just don't know why I'm supposed to care about this. So, not really all that interested.
Ophidian, do love Oleg the Usurper's finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's my favorite. Hit a guy. Like, it's literally called Hit a Face. So,
that would be awesome if that was the name of it. Hit a Face!
Yeah, you might as well get some value out of that horrible finish. But there is some good stuff. Like, but it's the matches, really. Like, as long as they get time and have good matches, that's really all I have to look forward to on the show.
I think AC/DC Piece of Hate could be the match of the night.
Really. That could, Ophidian Jaka. I think if Worker Ant and Deviant get time, that could definitely be, just because there's more stuff to work a story with there. And there's definitely some good stuff here, but I wouldn't say this show blows me away by any measure.
Why don't we talk about the second Chicago show then? Maybe that'll blow you away, huh?
Well, what's it called?
It's called Diamonds Are Forever. That's supposed to be a good one.
Okay. Diamonds Are Forever. Which one? I don't even remember Diamonds Are Forever. And I've seen every Bond film multiple times.
Wow.
I remember the theme song, obviously. It's
Eddie Kingston will come out to the Kanye West song.
Will he? Or will he?
I don't know if he will, but he did.
Oh, that's true. At one time. But yes.
I remember the one of the coolest things I think they did was the first ECW Arena show when they did Hero vs. Kingston. And they showed them, like, backstage with their partners, like, warming them up and hyping them up and all that before they went out. And I remember that was the song Kingston used then. And I just remember him, like, walking down the steps of the arena or whatever while that song's playing on me. Like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, he used like a riff of Ecstasy and Gold from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, that was actually a Jay-Z song where he used that. It was called like The Blueprint, I think.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
So that was the instrumental of that. But yes, definitely from the Ecstasy of Gold.
Yeah, that was.
That's one of my favorite wrestling themes ever.
Yeah, that was great. I've been thinking about wrestling themes a lot lately, just because there's been new guys coming in, what themes work and what don't, and the way they fixed Adam Rose's group came out, and then Adam Rose would come out, and that was just complete hogwash, and they fixed it. So
well, now and now all the members of the Shield have their own song, and two of them are really terrible.
Yes, yeah,
it's like generic metal, and I'm like, this sucks. This just ruins the characters for me. Like, Reigns is at least kind of a take off the Shield theme, so I can like that one.
Right. It's, I mean, almost, it sounds almost exactly the same. So it's just kind of like a watered down version. So that works just fine. But yeah, they got kind of screwed over. One of my favorites ever, though, was Jimmy Rave in Ring of Honor would come out to House of the Rising
Sun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was right on his face. And he would just walk out with his scowl on. I used to love that one.
Especially like the interview with the vampire intro they had with it.
I don't remember that. What would they do with that?
It was like, so you know the movie Interview with the Vampire? There's like that line with Brad Pitt where he's like, I think it's like, should I begin like David Copperfield, or was it David Crockett's like, I'm born, or should I like start when I was born to darkness, as I call it?
Yeah, I think
that line.
Yeah, they would start with that, and then he'd come out and be all up close. I thought that was a really cool entrance.
It was, and like Jimmy Ray was awesome at that point in his career.
Yes, he was. That was the high point until Nigel broke his jaw.
Yeah, and Jimmy Rave was like, I'm leaving Ring of Honor. I get hurt literally every time. This sucks.
But, yeah, that's true. And start the original fake rock band. So
I think he's the reason Akuma wasn't a Ring of Honor anymore, if I recall correctly.
Why is that?
I think his last Ring of Honor match was an FIPU title four-way. It was Aries' first match back in Ring of Honor. It was Strong defending against Aries, Akuma, and Rave. And what I heard is that Akuma hurt Rave somehow, and Rave bitched and quit the company, and then Akuma just never got brought back.
Well the other guy quit. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, the other guy quit, though. Why you gotta get rid of the guy that injured him? That doesn't seems like problem solved if one guy quits.
Well, this is all conjecture.
That's true.
I don't know if that's true. If someone knows that's true or bullshit, let me know. Akuma, I think, listens to this show. He can tell us.
Yeah, he'll tell us.
I don't want to spread lies about Grand Akuma on the show ever. So if he would like to come and say, hey, you're asshole, stop spreading lies about me, that is actually very welcome.
Yeah,
that is what I heard. I'm not saying that's fact or fiction.
It seems like you're saying it's fact.
I didn't say it was fact.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just saying that match happened and then Jimmy Rave left the company. That I can tell you is a fact.
Okay, that is the chain of events.
Yes.
We are so off base now.
We are off base. So let's go down the Diamonds Are Forever card, bottom to top. First time ever match, Billy Rock coming back to Chikara. Woohoo, I like Billy Rock a lot. He's going to take on Juan Francisco de Coronado, not Juan, long Spanish last name, as Justin put it earlier. This match, God, I am so excited for this. I'm most looking forward to this, I think, out of everything. It's Dainty versus Dairy, as they put it. A tag match as old-fashioned of Jervis Cottonbelly and Marion Fontaine, one of my favorite tag teams today, take on Los Ice Creams. That should be a barrel of fun. I'm really excited for that. We have a rematch of sorts from If You Only Live Twice as the Colony takes on the Colony Extreme Force, but it's only a tag match as Fire Ant and Silver Ant take on Orbit Adventure Ant and Missile Assault Ant. One-on-one, Eddie Kingston takes on Jimmy Jacobs in a first-time encounter in Chikara. Seeking vengeance for the death of Kobold, Oberyn and Kodama take on Oliver Grimsley and Kefka the Quiet from the Auditorium. And this main event also has a trios match, just like the afternoon card, as Archibald Peck and 3.0, known together as 3PECO, take on the BDK of Ares, Tursus, and Nakan. So, Justin, is this card doing anything more for you?
Yeah, I would say so. It looks like the better of the two. Like you said, that tag match, man, that looks pretty awesome between old-fashioned and low-size creams. Kingston-Jacobs will hopefully be a great match. We mentioned off-air that they're actually facing each other. Is it the night before this they're facing one another?
Yeah, they're facing each other at AAW, the exact same match between Kingston versus Jacobs, and I'll be there for both. And I have a feeling they're not just going to do the same match twice. I think they're going to do they're both great wrestlers. I think they're going to have two different but equally good matches.
Yeah, we kind of or second thought, I thought, you know, maybe they'll just do the same. But when I thought about it, these guys are total pros, and you know, they both obviously so much love wrestling that it might be cool to watch the first and then watch this one and see what's different between them. They're that kind of that level of heady when it comes to wrestling inside the ring. So that'll be exciting. The main event, I'm always up for. I'm just a big Tirzis mark. I really am. I'm so glad he's back and just murdering people. I'm so rooting for the Bruderschaft in all of this. It's ridiculous. As long as Jakob comes back.
I like Arias is back as the leader, and I also like them having two Hosses.
Yes. So that's fine. It's a double Hoss scenario.
Yes. And a Hoss division in Chikara would tickle me. I don't think it's going to happen. There's too many small guys.
No, they're close. They got a lot of big guys. Unfortunately, they're all on the other side of the
They're all Rudos
in the Flood. Yeah.
Well, Kingston, I think, would have to be in the Haas division, but he's not in the Flood.
Is he a Haas? Boy, it's hard to define a Haas. That's I don't know. He hits hard, but maybe
if
he is.
If he was still a little tubbier, he'd be a Haas.
He's still pretty tight.
He's not all that tubby. I mean, he's big, but he's not like, it's not like, oh God, it's not like tragically Avalanche fat or anything.
That's pretty rough. Yeah, car horn fat.
oh gosh.
Zach Galifianakis used to put it that he was car
B word fat.
Yeah.
As Patton Oswalt would say.
I guess he's not that bad, but yeah, there's plenty of Hosses there, and I love Aries's new look. The mustache.
Oh God, it's so good.
And the balding. I mean,
the poor guy though, going around in public looking with that mustache. Sheesh.
He's got some cojones to be rocking that and going home every night and being like, "This is a good look. This is the look that I'm happy to have."
with my wife and kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man.
Because that's the one thing. It's like if I look like a piece of shit and everyone thinks I suck, who cares? But if they're like, "Are you married to a Nazi?" Like, that's awkward.
Yeah, that is. And you know, he can't go. He's not like, no. And he's bald and he's got the big mustache
and like all these crosses that kind of look like swastikas on a lot of gear. Yes. And stuff.
Take our daughter.
Questionable.
Take the children to the car. This guy's. I don't trust him. No. But no, that should be a great match. There's a lot of good stuff. Billy Rock and Spanish fella. That should be good too.
Send the hate mail to Justin J. Houston.
No, it's just a mountain of a name. I go, Juan Fried. Oh, I can't do it. And I just sort of fall over tired. Can I just call him Juan? What happened to his ball caddy or whatever he was? His like
he lost polisher. Him somehow and rest. I think he fired him or something. Like him and Shenron had like a dozen matches and he got lost somewhere in there.
Oh, is he like where Ozzy? Ozzy Smith is in The Simpsons, like that.
Yes, in the oh god, what's it called? That tunnel.
Just the it's just a bottomless pit.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh,
it takes picture.
Yeah, that's where he threw. His
Actually, body. I think Juan Francisco fired him for not shaving his sideburns.
Is that real?
No.
That'd be amazing.
So referencing Homer at the Bat.
Yes.
The 10 out of 10 episode of The Simpsons.
Listen, Mr. Burns, I don't know what you think sideburns are, but I don't have them.
Yeah. Maybe someone on the Chicago card will drink too much tonic and have overgrowth. Like
Ken Murphy. Gigantism. That would be. Yes. That's a gimmick waiting to happen.
That's how you become a Haas.
Yes. Gigantism Gonzalez. That's
Hydra freaking. Almost did that gimmick, basically.
Where he did what?
He became giant.
Yeah, but. How did he get giant? How do they say?
Well, they insinuated Atomic? That he was on steroids.
Well, he got suspended for it, too, didn't he, once?
He did. Well, he would also come out to rehab by Amy Winehouse. God, Hydra was the best. This could be really a Hydra love fest if we really wanted it to be.
It's true. And it honestly would not take much. This is another show that doesn't quite feel like a Chikara show. Maybe it just needs to get settled in, but it's just every match. I don't care about this Battiri Auditorium thing. I don't care about Kefka the Quiet on Oliver Grimsley.
At least there's a purpose to them fighting.
Which is that they're the replacement guys for Sin Bodhi?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's true.
And I liked what they brought to the table at You Only Live Twice. I didn't think that Sin Bodhi really added much to the equation, but I kind of like what they did, especially Grimsley.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't dislike them as wrestlers. I just, there's not enough for me to go on.
The thing about them too is like, listen, that's great that you both have carny-ish gimmicks, and that makes sense why you'd be together. But why are you together? Why did you decide to come together for this cause? Why are you both under Sinbodhi's tutelage? Is it just because, like, hey, circuses, high five? Or is there something more sinister to it?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, we want to know more. Give us something to go on and not just some gigantic predator-looking dude coming around and murdering people. Is he going to murder someone else on these shows?
We'll see. I guess that leads us
to the next card.
The other thing is we still have the expansion pack for Chicago, which my presumption is there'll be a match on there like there was at the You Only Live Twice expansion pack. And I noticed from the next card that we have, the one in Detroit, that Shenron isn't on this. Chuck Taylor isn't on it. It says Gekido for a multiple man match, which I assume includes like 17 who's on those shows. Deviant is, though. So we'll see where those guys fall. Maybe they're going to be on the expansion pack, or perhaps we'll get a bonus match on the evening Chicago card. We'll have to see. So that officially puts Chicago to rest. So I turn to you, Justin, to talk about Goldfinger.
Yeah, the Detroit show. Bottom to top. We'll go with that. We have a what appears to be a four-corner elimination match. Yeah, it is. Which they're throwing the throwbacks in another one of these. They're getting in on that action. Knockin' and Terzis is the other team. Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin is team three. And then Oliver Grimsley and Kefka the Quiet are the fourth team. Does this lead to anything? Is it involved with the tag titles? Who knows? But it's a match. Multiple man mayhem. The Spectre Envoy is facing Gekido. I don't know who's even left of the Gekido, but we'll talk about that in a second. Estonian Thunderfrog is taking on Jaka. So more wrestling is kind of level action. Shinron is taking on Eddie Kingston. And I'm very pleased about this. Jervis Cottonbelly is taking on the Kentucky Gentleman Chuck Taylor, which is even more awesome news. Next up is a tag match after facing them in they don't face them in the six-man tag, do we? They're in the main events of each of the other two nights, or I guess it's on the same day. In Chicago, the two main events in Chicago, these two teams are a part of it. 3.0. And then Max Smashmaster and Blaster McMassive of the Devastation Corporation. And now we have the main event of this show, which is a huge Titanic 10-man main event. It is the Colony and the Battiri facing various members of the Flood. Feel free to speculate away on who's going to be in there, Kevin. But what do you think of the card overall?
So one of these matches led to the best exchange on Twitter I've seen in a very long time. Jervis Cottonbelly tweeted, "Dear at Sexy Chucky T," which is Chuck Taylor's Twitter handle, "I look forward to a proper clean match this Sunday with only a hint of tomfoolery. Warmly, Jervis Cottonbelly." And Chuck Taylor's response, "I'm going to punch you until you die."
That's not gentlemanly at all.
No, it is not. This, I think their definition of gentleman is pretty different. I think maybe Chuck Taylor enjoys drinking Gentleman Jack. Perhaps visiting gentlemen's clubs, but a gentleman he is not. Not like Jervis Cottonbelly, anyways.
Yes, certainly not.
No. So I think that could be outrageous fun. I just laughed just looking at Eddie Kingston versus Shenron, because Kingston could kill that guy. And that's going to be fun to watch. I'll never tire of Eddie Kingston just beating the pulp out of somebody. And I like Shenron a lot. I think he has a lot of potential. I think there's always room in Chikara for a guy like him. That's awesome, and I really hope that Shinron doesn't just get murdered or folded up really badly on a powerbomb and gets to live to see another day and puts in a quality match. And I think the four-team match has a lot of promise. I like those four teams. And the multi-man matches, too, like the main event could be pretty interesting. It's interesting to see who's going to be in the Flood, because you could have someone like the leaders of the groups like Ares and Jimmy Jacobs and all those guys team up. And that's, I guess, kind of the cool thing about the Flood in instances like this, is you could get some really unique pairings going on there. So we'll see what that provides. But yeah, I think the Detroit card looks really fun.
Yeah, I like it a lot more, honestly, more than the Chicago shows. I really do. Maybe well, because
thanks.
Well, they had to split up the Chicago shows into two separate things. So
I do think that's really cool that they were able to pull off two Chicago cards with nobody overlapping on either show.
It's true, but at the same time, I think not focusing on a single card, it suffered a little bit. I mean, you already mentioned that we're losing Pieces of Hate versus the Osirian Portal.
That's not their fault.
That's true, but it just kind of I don't know. I don't want to say it. I think they split up some matches there. I really do. But either way, those are good shows. I just think that Detroit, which is not sold out, the Chicago shows are. This one is not. I think this looks fantastic. I like, honestly, I kind of like every match on this show. I think I like the four way elimination matches when it's kind of varied with a lot of different teams. The Throwback having won it, the BDK being the big guys, the Auditorium being kind of the smaller, kind of pick their spots guys, and ACDC being not Chikara regulars, just kind of a big, if there's such thing as a name tag team on the indies, both those guys are pretty well known. So I think there's just a lot of stuff going for it. Shinron, Eddie Kingston, I think is just going to be wonderful. I love Eddie Kingston beating up on Flyers. That never gets old. And the main event, I'm trying to think of, who's going to be in it. And you got to think, Jacobs and Bodie are going to be there that weekend.
Well, Bodie, I don't think is in Chicago.
Was he not on the other show? What was I thinking of that?
Oleg, I don't think is on the show yet.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. He is not on there. For some reason, I thought that he was on this show in some match.
It could be that Bodie is working the Detroit show and not Chicago. That's certainly possible.
Yeah, probably not, though. I probably wouldn't go there. And I'm assuming, maybe 17 shows up at some point. Ari's certainly can.
Well, you're going to have so the Gekido, we didn't really talk about that.
Who's in the Gekido? Like, who's left there now?
So what my understanding is it's 17, the Shard and Deviant, and Jigsaw, they're purposely not identifying as a member of the Gekido, but he is a member of the Piece of Fate with the Shard. So there's that, line that he's treading.
Interesting. Okay. So
my guess would be the three would be Deviant, 17, and the Shard.
17 and the Shard. And that would make sense because they don't list them individually when it's an entire group and it's all of the Spectral Envoy that's active is facing all of the Gekido that's active. So with the Flood, it is interesting. It'll be interesting to see who's there. Maybe the big guy actually makes his wrestling debut, Dandelion or whatever his name is.
Deucalion.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It is what you said.
Yeah. It's maybe Deucalion comes in and murders another Batiri member. Because he's mean. He's just a mean person. I like this show a lot, and I'll be watching this one with great interest.
Could have Soldier and Delirious in the Flood.
Oh, no! That's true! Oh, jeez! That's not okay!
Well, no, I think Delirious is busy that day.
Maybe, but who cares? But
in unrelated news, Ring of Honor's running a pay-per-view that Sunday.
Oh, are they?
Right? Jerome actually, I think either IM'd me or texted me, and he goes, if I told you Ring of Honor had a pay-per-view Sunday, would you believe me? And I thought that was pretty telling.
Yes, I would believe you that I missed that. But no, they should do a better job of promoting those. And honestly, so should Chikara. I mean, I don't know. I still don't know what I'm getting out of these shows in terms of storyline stuff. What's going to be resolved? What they're all fighting over? It's sort of I all have to makeshift. And the stuff I'm most excited about is the stuff outside of their little stories. The Four Corner Survival, Shinron Kingston from this show, Cotton Belly Taylor from the show too. It just has nothing to do with this Jakar versus Flood stuff, and yet that's what I'm most interested in. But maybe, and I really appreciate it, if Jakar in Detroit just sat down and literally explained all their stories and what the big reveals are point by point. In one flood, if you will. If some guy just walks out and just explains everything, that would be wonderful.
It's like a 45-minute segment on the show.
Right. He just comes out and goes, by the way, the guy under the mask is Billy Rock. He's mad because Chikara swallowed its company whole. et cetera, et cetera. And then he just sort of leaves. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, now I know.
And knowing half the battle.
Yeah. I don't need like the last 5 seconds of a 2-minute promo to like, to give me answers. Like, I don't need like a long promo from Kefka the Quiet and Grimsley. And at the end, they're like, besides, you know what your grand master said. And they leave and like, no, don't do that. Don't just say a thing. And now I got to care about that too.
Well, excuse you, but Kefka doesn't talk.
Well, he was there. He didn't actually talk.
By the way, have you ever seen a mime do slow motion? Because you might get that in Detroit.
I never really thought of that. Yeah, of course they're going to do that.
Wouldn't that be great? I really like Cannon and Corbin. They're great. They're fun.
Yeah, they honestly, I'd be okay with them being full time. But, you know, much like the WWE, they don't have a gimmick, so they don't really have much for them.
No, but I appreciate just seeing them on the Midwest shows every so often. They're a fun act. Maybe they'll come to King of Trios.
And they're reliable. I mean, you can always count on them to have a good match. And I think that's what Chikara needs right now. They have all their characters top to bottom. They just need to improve the wrestling quality.
Oh, I think they need story stuff to make sense.
That would be nice, but I could tolerate it. You know, just like Lost, I was able to tolerate the terrible storytelling. Terrible, terrible.
Every time.
Terrible every storytelling. Every time. Because it was the best acted show, and it was shot well, and the performances in there, you were like, I'll hang on for another week. But it wasn't good enough at the pay-per-view. It just wasn't. If that was you saying to new fans, here we are, they probably turned around. I don't see how they couldn't, or at the very least, they weren't like, you know, blown away, hair blowing back, like, wow, this is amazing! Like, it just didn't happen that way. And it should have. It really should have, but I don't think that was the point. That Chikara is no longer interested, I don't think, in making new fans. I think they're just trying to please the ones they already have that are just like diehards and will go to everything. Otherwise,
yeah, that's a cheap shot at me.
No, because you're – yes. No. You don't normally – you didn't go to everything for a long period of time. You are now, you son of a bitch, but wow. Yeah.
Sorry for convenience.
I know. I believe me, I would go to a lot of these myself. But in terms of who they're trying to really reach with their storytelling, that's just Chikara. They're not trying to use storytelling to reach any new fans anymore, I don't think. With this, I don't see how anyone sees this and goes, well – why or okay, or maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe I've got it completely backwards. Maybe they're trying to build as many questions as they can so that any new fan that gets on in these next couple shows start getting answers right away. In which case, great, but please start doing it now at these shows.
Please,
s'il vous plaît, merci beaucoup.
Wow, we really ran through all that stuff pretty fast.
Yeah, we were pretty timely about that. Which of the shows that you're going to are you most excited about?
Probably the evening Chikara card.
Oh, the night? Yeah, I would say that's probably the better of the two. Certainly. What are you hoping to get out of these shows? Like, more than it sounds like you're more into, like, you need story development, and I'm like, I just need better wrestling.
Right, because I think I'm pretty okay with the wrestling. I'm just like, how about stuff that make, and I honestly don't expect to happen. I expect just kind of matches, maybe something big on the night show with Deucalion, and that's really about it. But again, so I guess in that case, yeah, I do want some good wrestling on this.
Better wrestling, yeah, than they had previously. What's going on with Rudo Resurrection? I know they didn't meet their goal.
That's right. I forgot all about that. Yeah, they did not meet their goal. So, is it happening? Is it not? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess they're still trying to fix. So, once again, it goes from a thing to not a thing to maybe it's a thing.
The Rudo Resurrection storyline continues.
Damn.
Maybe one day, Justin. Did you donate?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not.
I was gonna say I bought the game. I mean, that's so. Yeah, that's how I knew anything happened. So.
Oh, did they send an email being like, "Sorry, it wasn't funded."
That's why I didn't understand your question first. Is that you were like, "Did you donate?" I was like, "Well, I bought it." Just yeah, but that counts.
Well, I mean, like I saw a ton of people who were like, "Oh, well, this needs to get funded." Like, you know, please, there's only 2 days left. And I looked and I was just like, "Man, this is not gonna make it." Like it was still like $30,000+ short.
They were asking for a lot of money, quite frankly. It was one of those things that I thought was doomed to the start. I mean, $200,000 stretch goals were – it just – the proof – the concept wasn't there. It just wasn't. And then the stuff that they showed wasn't mind-blowing.
Well, I don't think the fan base is either. Like, Jakar has a lot of diehard fans, but as you saw, most of the donations were in the $10 range.
Right.
So it's not like you have people with thousands of dollars who will bankroll, you know, the game. And I think a lot of these things are supposed to see like, okay, this is going to cost us $50,000. Is it worth our time? Like that to me is what all these Indiegogo and Kickstarter things are about. Like if it gets funded, great. Then we know it's going to be worth our time and effort. And if it doesn't, well, then it's not.
I mean, I suppose I think a lot of it is just supplemental is them going, well, we're going to try to make this anyway. Let's go ahead and get some dollar out of it.
Sure. I mean, maybe they'll still go through with it anyways, just to do it. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, I do hope they end up fulfilling it just because I'd like to see the game and that it didn't, you know, cost me very much. So that was nice.
That is nice.
But, yeah, other than that, there's not really a whole lot else to mention. Did I mention the roster? Oh, yeah, I did mention the roster page.
God, did you? there is, I guess, one last thing to mention. I'm trying to pull it up now. Is that... Hold on, sorry. Justin, pad for me as I'm filling this. Nope, I got it.
Here? Oh, all right.
The Friday before Chikara in Chicago, obviously there's the AEW show in Berwyn, Illinois, where myself and Jerome Kiuson are going to be. Lots of good matches for that, like Michael Elgin versus Josh Alexander, Jimmy Jacobs versus Eddie Kingston. The Batiri are making their debut against Zero Gravity, so that should be a fun show. But if you don't want to go to that, there's something else going on in Chicago as the Squared Circle restaurant that Lisa Marie Varon / Victoria owns and all that. They are going to be holding a fundraiser for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in honor of Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. And so I know they're going to be doing a celebrity strut off. Auction off some cool items. There's going to be a lot of people from Chikara there. I think Bryce is going to be there. Cannon and Corbin are going to be there. And a lot of the people, I'm sure, from Chikara are going to be there as well. And like I said, once AEW is over, myself and Jerome are going to head right over to the Squared Circle. So hopefully we'll catch at least an hour or so of all that going on. But again, if you're not going to do AEW, this is another option for you to do. So, and it's for a great cause, the best cause one can ask for. And it's all in the name of Larry Sweeney, who we all love and stuff. So, yeah, be sure to check that out. You can get more information on that. Go to thesquaredcircle.biz. It's under the events tab. And, yeah, I think that's definitely worth mentioning.
For sure. I mean, he is as much what Chikara is all about as anything. And whenever I think of the most talented people that never appear in the WWE, his name always comes up in my mind. He was that level of talented. And it's like you said too, it's for a great cause. You know, as someone who deals with depression constantly, it's, you know, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is a fantastic charity and a very real thing that helps people every single day.
Yeah, so, and if you can't make it, that's obviously something to look into donating towards anyways, in the name of Larry Sweeney. So I don't want to end on a low note, but that'll be a really fun night. And if you're a big Chikara fan, that's, I think, an opportunity to get your hands on some really unique goodies. And in the name of charity. So you can't lose.
For Chikara fans, I mean, it should be. I mean, even if it is, you know, it's in honor of Larry Sweeney because it is a celebration. I mean, it's not like an in memoriam thing. They're having a celebrity strut off.
Yeah.
So when you think about Larry Sweeney, I, you know, there are times where there's twinges of sadness. But it's always overridden when you actually see the guy or hear the guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Favorite clip on YouTube, and I could watch it over and over again, is simply the colony coming out to the theme song. It freezes, and Fire Ant and Soldier Ant just stop in their tracks instinctively as a joke, and you just hear Larry Sweeney laughing like crazy in the
back. It's the funniest thing of all time.
Always puts a smile on my face. Always. And if you're a Chikara fan, I mean, this is what you waited for. This is three shows in 2 days. Four, really, if you count the bonus pack thing they're doing. So it's a huge, huge festival celebrating Chikara. If you're a diehard Chikara fan, like I mentioned, I mean, this is – they are catering this to you, to the diehard fans. There are no there are no outside wrestlers on these shows that don't have history within Chikara. Even AC/DC and Jimmy Jacobs have long histories. AC/DC does. Jimmy Jacobs is a feud, a big-time player in the company now. So this is for Chikara fans, and you know, all three shows look good. I can't say any one of them look, you know, I sort of turn my nose up at them. I can't. There's good stuff on every show, and I think that Detroit show is fantastic. So I am envious that you get to go to these, super envious that you get like a Chikara day, basically, in Chicago, which is ridiculous.
Yep.
But
so that will be the expansion pack, too. I should point that out.
Yes.
I don't know if we'll make it to Challengers Comics. That's another thing they're doing. Challengers Comics in Chicago, 11 a.m. on the day of the Chicago shows. They're going to be having donuts and punch with the Chikara wrestlers. So if you just need Chikara in your life from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, just in your body at all times, they're going to make it happen.
Yeah, they'll also have donuts.
Yeah, donuts. Free donuts and punch. Yeah. Like, oh, also, like, there's comic books surrounding the whole place, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of a geeky heaven. So it's donuts, punch, comics, and Chikara. You know, don't be a fool. If you're in that area, as much as frustrated as I am with the product, and again, I can't stress this enough that our frustration comes from a place of love and wanting it
so
to be.
So much love.
It truly. I would go to these in a heartbeat if I was anywhere near them.
I'm not anywhere near them. I'm going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going way further, way, way far out of his way to go to these, and time and energy and money and all that stuff. So if you are in the area, Chikara is, I mean, it's worth your money. It's, you know, it's, what's the price for tickets now?
I think GA is $20.
Okay, so they did go up, but you're still getting bang
for. Yeah, like
up.
Front row for King of Trios is like $75.
Bananas. That is like, bananas.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, you can go to the store and it's like how many of each ticket is left, and it's like as the rows go further back, like the less seats there are.
Exactly, because so. it's people just want a guaranteed spot. They don't want to pay $70 billion.
Yeah. You know?
But hey, as soon as they announce, you know, like Archibald Peck and the remnants of Three Man Band. Yes. As a team,
or Brodus Clay, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre as Tons of Suck.
Oh, that's not good. No,
sorry,
that's harsh. Tons of Suck.
Yeah, I still want my team of JTG, Shad Gaspard, and the Repo Man as Crime Time.
No, you had a name for it, right? Or someone recommended something else?
Well, somebody said that someone recommended Crime Time and Alex Shelley is the Crime Time Splitters.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And my response was, when Abraham Washington got fired from WWE and the Prime Time players were left without a manager, I remember being one of those people saying, well, JTG sitting around doing nothing and that guy can talk. Like, let him manage them, and they could have been the Crime Time players.
Wow, that would have been good.
Yeah.
It would have been better than just firing him.
Yeah, right? I still think it's great that that he probably got fired because the internet kept mentioning him.
That had to happen, right?
Right. I mean, they're like, oh yeah, we do have him employed.
Fire him as a last admitted addition for funsies.
Right.
They remembered he existed. So.
And JT, I just imagine JTG like sitting in his closet at home, and then like, or maybe he's just been avoiding a phone call for all these months, and then he accidentally forgets like that day.
He even said on Twitter.
He's like, why did I pick up my phone?
Yeah, he said, why turn my phone on? And I was like, yeah, that's, you shouldn't have done it. That's, he Slater didn't. That's why he still has a job.
Well, I love that's what Kurt Hawkins, which is his thing. He said, like, well, my nightmare has come true. I now have to pay for my own wrist tape again.
Yeah, that was his whole take on it. Every action he took in the wake of it, outside of picking a fight with Mark Henry, which, what are you, crazy? Don't do that. was perfect. And
he has his wrestling school. He's already booked like crazy in the New York area for the rest of his life.
Yeah, for sure.
So and, he's going to be A-okay.
Yeah, and Zack Ryder is probably going to be let go at some point, and they'll reunite under a different name and make tons of money doing that.
Yep. Curt Hawkins couldn't be the next Trent Beretta in that respect.
Very easily. I think everyone's already pointed that out. They've been like, you saw what happened to him. And even Beretta, I think, said on Twitter, he was like, you know, this is, you're about to have fun in wrestling again. Like, this is the most fun you're going to have in ages. So
Trent Beretta has that new T-shirt that says Hard on Eggs with like a picture of a gun. It is the silliest shirt, but I really want it for some reason.
What is the origin of that? Does he just not like eggs? What is the...
I don't know. I think it might be from some YouTube thing that I haven't seen. But that's why I don't understand. Is I'm like, this seems so ridiculously silly.
Totally random.
Yeah. It might be from like the Joey and Candace show, perhaps. I don't know.
Hmm. I've never seen an episode of that. Is that any good?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Like, are they like, they're an item, right? That's the reason they're doing...
Yes.
Okay.
I think they outright stated that on an episode. I mean, you could have made that conclusion yourself.
Right.
Because you're a right-thinking human being. But I think at one point they were like, yeah, we're dating.
Yeah. Like, just go ahead and say it, just so we can get that out of the way.
World's cutest tag team.
Adorable.
Though I do love the Best Friends. Have they done the Best Friends versus Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae yet? They have.
Yeah. They Chuck Taylor, like, refused to hit her, and then he came out dressed as a woman, if I remember.
That's right. Okay. God, I need to see that match.
Yeah.
Sounds like what I love about professional wrestling.
Yeah. It all revolves around Chuck Taylor.
Indeed. All right, I think that's enough of this. This might have been one of the shortest Viva Chikars we've ever done.
It's true. Could we start a church in Taylor's honor? Just call it the Cock, the Church of Chuck?
Jeez.
What?
That is not family friendly.
What? Listen, I didn't swear once, and then you said shit near the end of this show, and I'm like, well, all bets are off.
Wait, did I?
Yeah.
When?
Like near the end. You said it, and I was like, well...
I'm sorry, everybody.
I follow your lead like a dog on a leash.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Justin.
Sorry. Sorry, you're so stupid.
I forgot about that. Nobody knows what we're talking about except for Brad, who doesn't listen to this show.
Well, they would if they listened to our podcast, Flooping the Pig, which is all about Adventure Time, a cartoon show on Cartoon Network, which is a television net. Television's are where they beam in entertainment. Entertainment is anything that gives you, I can't go that far down. It's just, it's a television show that we really love. It's for kids and adults, and we do a podcast about it, and they're super short, and they're so fun. They're packed with fun! So,
like, if you like Chikar, you're going to like Adventure Time. I pretty much guarantee it.
Yeah. If there's some sort of disconnect, like if you like one and not the other, I don't know what's going on with you.
Well, Mike
Wackenberg
said
similar
on Twitter that he didn't like Adventure Time, and that was just appalling.
Well, of course he – I mean, listen. Of course he didn't, because it probably reminded him – I mean, it's, you know, it's like someone with a glaring mole on their face, and they see someone like a forehead scar, and they go, what's wrong with that person's face? Like, come on. Have some context here. Acknowledge your own face.
Oh, boy. What have we gotten into? Well, you're on the plug trail now, so why don't you continue with Twitter and other things?
Yeah, I mentioned Rubbed Raw is a column that I write. This last one is the most wholesome edition that I've written so far. It's for everyone ages 2 to nearly dead, and it's my magnum opus, really. And there's more parts coming. It's a 3-part series. It's gritty, in-depth reporting. I hope everyone enjoys it. It's also – there's always a Raw recap that I do with just a gun to my head because it drives me crazy. I just want to sit back and enjoy Raw, and I'm hunched over a computer, like just frantically punching a keyboard. And then my Twitter is at Justin J. Houston. I'm trying to tweet more stuff and be more active on there. So questions, comments, hate mail. Well, the hate mail goes to at CGSTONG. CGS Tong, I think, is what his handle is. That's where that goes. Everything else, comments and compliments specifically, at Justin J. Houston.
And you can follow me on Twitter at K413. I'll take some of those compliments if you got them. Unless they're about Rubbed Rock, keep those with Justin, because that has nothing to do with me. But if it has to do with Fluming the Pig or Viva Chikara or any of the dual things that Justin and I do, yeah, throw them both of our ways. That's always nice. And again, my Twitter is K413, K4D13. You can also follow Pro Wrestling Ponderings on Twitter. They're, of course, the people who bring you this fine podcast. Follow them on Twitter at PW Ponderings. Search for them on iTunes and Stitcher Radio by searching for PWP Podcasts. All the shows come out a day early if you subscribe on there. So you probably listen to Viva Chikara earliest of all if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Flipping the Pig is out every Monday, but it comes out on Sundays if you're subscribed to that. So that's pretty awesome. And I also do a podcast called Fan to Fan, which occurs on Fridays when I feel like it or if my audio actually works. So that's like every other Friday at this point. And it doesn't happen when Viva Chikara happens. And it's now PW Ponderings exclusive, so that's fun. And, oh yeah, I also do Chikara things. ChikaraSpecial.tumblr.com. I have a Tumblr about Chikara. I've been really bad about updating it, but I've also been sick for like 5 days, so back off. And there's ChikaraSpecial.wordpress.com. I do Chikara reviews, or I did, but there's old ones there, so if you haven't read them, or if you did read them, it's like they're new again. So go read that. Yeah. Thank you for doing this, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. I enjoy doing this. And listen, we'll be doing these a lot. You're going to a lot of the shows. King of Trios is back. There's a lot of reason to do it.
Promising you until the end of 2014.
Yep, absolutely. And thank everyone. Thank you for listening, people that listen to our show. And you've been flooping the pig.
I was about to make that joke.
Were you really? Yes! I don't know why. God. I had the sense. I was like, beat him to it.
Oh, man.
That's the other podcast. People will love it.
Rude. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Yeah, I'm done.